appreciating your employees to greatness. Just about everybody knows who Mary Kay Ash is. If you don't know, she's the founder of Mary Kay Cosmetics, a massive, massive company out in Texas, but they're worldwide. And she once said, there are two things people want more than sex and money. Now, you can imagine that. Two things that people want more than sex and money, and those two things are recognition and praise. Recognition and praise. You know, time and time again, the one motivating factor that is at the top of most employee lists is appreciation for a job well done. I was with a business owner here a while back. We were out playing golf, and I asked him, how does he appreciate his employees? And he looked at me like I had three heads. He didn't have any idea what I was talking about. Obviously, he needed to learn something. Money and sex are not the most important things. Recognition and praise are. It is requested more than the green stuff or money. Appreciation is what people want. So the thing is, then, why don't more managers, business owners, and employees give appreciation? Well, that's a very good question. Some people state that they don't know how to give it. Some people say, I just don't know how to appreciate my employees. Well, I'm going to let you in on a big secret. Are you ready? By the time I get done talking tonight, you will know how. I may not give you every idea under the sun, but you will know how. Others say they don't know what to give. Well, I may not give you every idea under the sun, as I said, but you're going to know some ideas on how to give appreciation. Still, others say they're just too busy to give or show appreciation. Too busy. I think this is one of the biggest sins, if you will, owners being too busy to give appreciation for a good job well done. You remember the old transmission commercials? They used to say, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. Well, that's what giving appreciation is all about. You can invest in your employees now and pay them with sincere appreciation and achieve even better performance, or you're going to pay them later when you see your team's performance sink and overall morale decrease. So you either pay now or you pay later. One way or another, you're going to pay. So let me give you six tips to giving sincere, and that's key, sincere appreciation. And this is going to motivate your team to soar to higher levels and achieve even more. Number one, be specific. In order to get the same behavior or action again, you need let the employee know exactly what actions you're appreciating. If you see an employee and they go over and beyond expectations to help a customer, well, be specific when you sit down with them or when you go to them and say to them, wow, you really helped that lady. You really helped that gentleman. Thank you so much. Be specific. Number two, be timely. Be timely. Make sure you show appreciation as soon as possible to the action you appreciate. The further the distance in time between the appreciation and the action, the less impact it will have to motivate the employee. Always find time to show appreciation. Even if you need to drop everything and go do it. So, with our customer, the employees went over and beyond helping that customer. Go to them right away. Don't wait. Don't wait. It's really critical. It's like punishing your child. If your child is at the store and misbehaves, and you get them home and they're 2 years old and you spank the daylights out of them, they're not going to be able to associate that discipline with something that they did wrong. Well, flip the coin over to something good. Always be timely. And then number three, be consistent. Be consistent. Being fair with everyone and allow everyone to play on the same appreciation playing field. Boy, that's critical. Let me say that again. Be fair with everyone and allow everyone to play on the same playing field. Now, what does that mean? Well, let me give you a few thoughts here. First, clearly state the rules for appreciation so that everyone understands how it is earned. If your appreciation is with awards or rewards, could be dollars, could be trips, whatever it is, clearly state the rules for the appreciation. If you do an employee of the month, clearly state how they can get that level of status. Let me give you a second idea. Be consistent when showing appreciation. Be consistent. If one employee does a favorable action and you show appreciation for that, and another employee does the same or similar action and you don't show appreciation, you've just sown the seeds of two things, bad morale and feelings of favoritism. If you've ever been in an organization, and I've been in a lot of them, I've done a lot of consulting in my career, bad morale and feelings of favoritism will be a cancer that will eat an organization from the inside out. I'll give you a third thought here. Always be on the lookout for finding something good in your employees. Something good that your employees are doing well. It's one of those things where you just look for the positive. And once you achieve this mindset, you're always going to find something good, and that will increase morale and productivity within your team and organization. Always go around looking for the good instead of looking for the negative. And the last thought I'll share with you, the fourth one is, be pure in your appreciation. If you show appreciation, don't muddle it with other communication. In other words, don't show appreciation for one action and then start discussing a potential corrective action for another action. In other words, what I'm saying here is, if they did a good job, tell them they did a good job and leave it at that. Because if you don't, this sends mixed signals that say to the receiver or the employee, I don't want to get this appreciation anymore because that guy, that woman, that boss, that manager always comes back with something negative too. So always be pure with your appreciation. Number four, be public if possible. Appreciation is not something you hide. Get it? Appreciation is not something you hide. It works best when done publicly. Show your appreciation in a public way in meetings, in front of team members and management. And you know what? If you want to embarrass them, if it does embarrass them, deep down inside, they may be blushing on the outside, but deep down inside, they're giving that fist pump and they're saying, I did it and I do it again. Thank you so much for calling that to everybody's attention. You know, the funny thing is that once you get in the habit of doing this, many of your team members will increase the activity they need to take to also earn this public appreciation. When they see someone getting appreciation, when they see that employee getting a trip or an Employee of the Month award or whatever it is, they're going to work on that. They're going to strive for that. So be public if possible. Number five, be relational. Be relational. You know, when I ask the question, why do you come to work every day in my workshops? I usually get this answer. Well, to get paid. Why else? And that's their first answer. But then as we discuss it further, it always comes down to, you know what, I feel like I make a difference. That's their main answer. I feel like I make a difference. Be relational with people. they don't just come to get paid. If they do, boy, they don't belong in your organization. And they probably won't stay there. They're there to make a difference. Appreciate them for doing just that. They're there. If they're working for you, I want to say this. If they're working for you, they're building, they're helping build your dream. It may not be their dream. It's your organization. It's your vision. It's your mission. No matter whether you're in a nonprofit organization, you're in a network marketing company, you have a printing company, you sell cars and you own a car lot, you're a chiropractor, you're a dentist, it doesn't matter. They're helping to build that dream. And they're there because they feel like they're making a difference. And then number six, a critique or written evaluation. You can show appreciation to a person by evaluating his or her on-the-job performance. Now, that may sound a little odd, but you can. Also, in a much less formal way, you can show appreciation by simply sending them a handwritten note saying how much you appreciated a particular duty they performed. You know, it's really easy to send an email these days. It really is. You can pop a paragraph in an email in 2 minutes, if that. And you feel like you've done a good job. And what? You've shown appreciation. But you take the time to get your legal pad out and your pen, and you write a note, or you get that fancy stationery out, or just a 3x5 card, and you write a note on it, and you drop it in the mail, or you slide it under their door, or you put it on their desk when they're not looking. They know you took some time to do it. A good way to do this is to watch for little things. A good way to know when you need to send a note is watch for the little things. For instance, when they put forth that extra effort to make something a success when it was possibly doomed for failure, send a note thanking them for their work, their effort, and their commitment to excellence. Because remember, they're there because they feel like they're making a difference, but they're there building and enhancing and furthering your dreams. Now, you can see in most cases, the reason why employees decide to climb out of bed in the morning and they decide to drive to work is that they feel like they're making a difference where they work, what they're doing, whether it's flipping burgers or whatever it is. So how you get them to excel to new heights, tackle new challenges, and win and strive to reach their potential? How do you do that? Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked. How do you get them to excel? How do you get them to reach their potential? One of the most popular events in the Olympics is the pole vault event. It's exciting to me. And we will all watch with amazement, at least I do. And I watch with anticipation, too, as that competitor is running full speed down the track with a long pole in his hands. Then he jumps on for, he hangs on for dear life. And he lowers the pole down into a hole that propels him high up in the air. I don't know who thought of this event way back in the day, but, man, they were brave. But he gets propelled high enough to clear the bar just in front of him. The jumper then has a soft landing on his back, ready to jump even higher the next time. You know, the goal of the jumper is not to be the fastest down the track, or to be the most efficient at hitting the mark with the pole. No. The goal is to jump high enough to clear the bar. Then do it again and again and again each time the bar is raised. Now, whether you know it or not, there is a bar to be raised or lowered in your organization. There's a bar. And people are there, your employees are those pole vaulters. The name of this bar is the bar of expectations. Each time you expect more of your staff, your volunteers, or yourself, you're raising the bar. Each time you're raising that bar. But how far can you raise the bar and how fast? my experience while working with all different kinds of organizations over many, many years, there's one tried and true fact. The smaller the organization, the lower the bar of expectations has to be. I'll say it again. The smaller the organization, the lower the bar of expectations. In other words, the fewer people you have to work with, the less you can expect or demand of them. Now, let me give you an example to kind of help paint a picture for you. Imagine this in your mind. Imagine a small choir. The choir director wants so bad to perform like a 500-voice choir, but knows if she puts too much demand on the choir members, they might quit, leaving holes that might be impossible for the rest of the group to fill. Or she might have a hard time getting members in the first place because her expectations are just simply too high. Conversely, if we look at a 500-voice choir and we see a director with the same dreams to perform at peak potential, to sing glorious music, to ring the halls from coast to coast. The difference in this situation is the choir director can start out with high expectations, or put rather high demands on her members, because she knows that there are many who would love to be a member of her choir. You see the difference? The small choir has to keep that bar lower. That bigger choir, knowing that, hey, if she loses a few, there's more in line. Now, you might be saying, how do I raise the bar in my organization? Well, in my past experience, I've discovered 4 techniques that you can do to continually raise the bar. And these will challenge your team members to become more effective in their duties and strive for their dreams. So let me just give you a few. The first one is, listen to where each team member is. Listen to where each team member is. This is especially important if you acquire a new team member or if you yourself are the new leader on the team. Listening to not only what is said, but also what is not, can help you determine areas of weakness in your team members' life, their leadership skills, and their ability. So plan one-on-one conversations where you can listen for areas of insecurity, fear, frustration, passion, past experiences, and confusion. Let me tell you, in the world we live in, if you have staff, they may feel very insecure right now. Fear may be gripping them. They may be very frustrated. But yet they may have a lot to give to your organization because of their passion and their past experiences. Listen to them. Plan some one-on-one time there. You know, hearing comes natural to all of us. You're hearing my voice right now. But listening is learned. The better you learn to listen, the more your team members will open up and share where he and she is and where they want to go. You've got to learn to listen. So listen to where each team member is. The second one is, learn to be patient. Learn to be patient. Now, I don't know if that comes easy to you, but to Coach Jeff, not so easy. In small organizations, most people on our leadership team are used to the status quo. Therefore, when you challenge them to grow in new ways, you must be patient. You're stretching them outside of places maybe they've never been before. And if you go too fast, they're going to dig in their feet, or they'll put up walls, or even both. It is difficult to go slow, however. when you see your team members with such great potential, and man, is that ever true, when you've got an employee or a staff member or a volunteer or an independent contractor, and you see so much potential, and you want to push them so far, so fast, remember, you've got to be patient. Potential that is untapped and perfect for the growth of your organization is very critical. Let me say that again. Potential that is untapped and perfect for the growth of your organization. You've got to help them reach their potential, but you've got to be patient. Next one. Lead one step at a time. Lead one step at a time. Remember, they're a small cup, okay? Picture that. They're a small cup. They're empty. They're waiting for you to educate them, challenge them, lead them. They're a small, empty cup. But you're a gallon of water. With your position and leadership over them as their boss, maybe your experience, your education, your degrees, they're a small cup and you're a gallon of water. If you pour out all of your knowledge and experience, you will quickly overflow their cup. Therefore, lead one step at a time in areas that you have detected are weak. In other words, you've listened to them. You've spent some one-on-one time with them, and you sense that maybe they're fearful. Maybe they're insecure. Maybe they are not quite sure of their role in the organization and they're confused. Lead one step at a time in areas that you know are weak. Some weak areas that I find in most people, in smaller organizations especially, are these. Now, let me give you just a short list. One is time management skills. I work with small business owners and big business owners too, but a lot of small business owners. And one of the things I find even in the owner of the company is the lack of the ability to really manage their time. They spend a lot of time doing things they really don't have any business doing. Another is believing that they can't do anything. Boy, I see that all the time in small organizations, whether it's the owner of the company or especially the staff. They're used to the status quo, and they just don't believe they can do anything or do great things. It's your job as their boss, as their leader, to stretch them. You always stretch them past their comfort zone. That's fine, but don't take them out of their gift zone. The next one is developing an ongoing personal growth plan. Some business owners do that. Most don't, and their employees follow suit. Most don't have an ongoing personal growth plan to continue learning, reading, and studying, analyzing, strategizing within themselves. The next one is teamwork and how to develop a team. Most people just, they inherit a team, and sometimes the team sticks together, and sometimes it doesn't. But you look at any team that is successful. Look at sports. Look at arts. Look at any successful business, and I guarantee you, you're going to find a team that has a good leader that leads the team, and the team's been together for a while. The next one is pursuing excellence in everything that they do. They like that status quo. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to throw a big rock in the pond and get a big wave coming out. So they don't really pursue excellence in everything that they do. And the last one is they don't think big. They don't think big. They're once again, they're used to that status quo, but they are happy and comfortable with everything that's going on. And if you're a new boss, or you hire a new manager in your company, and that person comes in and shakes things up and tries to get people to think big, it's really going to be putting people on edge. The next one is, on your screen there, is list what you expect and inspect what you list. List what you expect and inspect what you list. In order for anyone on your team to grow, you must hold them accountable. You have to hold them accountable. I usually tell people in a coaching role, inspect what you do expect. Now, this must be done carefully because if done incorrectly, you could be faced with many embarrassing holes in your organization, like the small choir. You start putting too many demands and inspecting too much and expecting too much, people could quit on you. The best way I've found to hold people accountable is to challenge them with a goal that's measurable, obtainable, requires actions, and has a deadline. Whether it's a sales goal, whether it's a goal of timing, you've got to get something done, you've got to get all this data entered into the computer, you've got to get all these stocked, you've got to get all these sold, you've got to get all these labeled, you've got to get these patients seen, you've got to get these patients scheduled, whatever, but they have a goal and a deadline. By doing this, you will see how strong of a leader they are and how they can perform when a deadline is approaching, because if they need help, they're going to recruit those around them to help them not to let you down and to be accountable to you and to excel to their potential. Now, you'll be able to increase your demands or expectations as the organization grows and as your team or as your leaders increase their leadership ability. The larger the organization gets, the bigger the goals can be. Remember, the bigger the organization, the higher the bar. The greatest part about this is the reward. Say it again. The greatest part about this is the reward. Now, what's the reward? It is almost like you're a proud parent, a father maybe, watching your child sing her first solo. And if you're a parent and you've experienced that, you know how proud you are. You're sitting there with your chest out, your head's up, you're smiling. You're looking at the person next to you that they don't know who you are and probably don't care. And you bump them on the shoulder and say, "That's my daughter up there. That's my child singing." Or you see your son hit a home run to win the game. And you're up screaming and cheering and shouting and making a fool of yourself. But you're that proud parent. When your team members begin accomplishing bigger goals in less time, you know you're becoming a more effective leader and your expectations can rise. In other words, you can raise the bar. Remember, go slow, be patient, and you and your organization will grow. Then, when you see the progress, you show appreciation. You do the things we talked about. You appreciate them. You do it publicly. You do it right away. You do all those things. And the cycle starts over again and again and again.